The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Gotta do our nails, gotta do our curls, gotta do these things, cause we're girls, girls, girls.
Gotta make a mess, gotta play with toys, gotta do this stuff, cause we're boys, boys, boys.
Right to left, and left to right, to right, let's fight. Right to left, and left to right, to right, let's fight. I hate you,
you hate me,
but you don't see the things I see.
Well, I hate you,
that's fine by me, cause we don't have a country.
Welcome to Without a Country, the podcast turning insane news into sane news since the year 2020. Tonight's stories include John Cleese, a transphobe, Twitter will take Trump's handle no matter what happens, and Kyle Rittenhouse, silver spoon, out on the street again. My name is Joe DeRosa.
I'm Corinne Fisher. Welcome to the show. Just a note for anyone, I can't see Joe, so I'm just blindly looking into my computer right now at myself, which honestly is kind of what I do during the show anyway, so it feels regular.
I can see you, my queen. That's all that matters.
Yes.
We are good. You're missing out on my new haircut. I'm sorry to.
Oh God, damn! Can you describe it to me slowly?
It's curly.
Slowly and quiet. I know that's one of the reasons I have such a crush on you. I love dark curly hair. It's my favorite kind of hair.
Well, I've got it all over my body. I hate to break it to you. It's everywhere.
That doesn't bother me that much.
Oh, good. Well, you're in luck. There's plenty here for you. For those of you watching this on Saturday, it doesn't matter, but for those of you watching tonight, sorry, we're a little late. We had some technical difficulties, but we're here. And I also want to say welcome back to the show. You were only gone for 1 week, Corinne, but I'm happy that you're back.
It felt like a lifetime. It felt like a lifetime. I know a lot of people messaged me and I said, don't worry, you know, I'll try to be back no matter what happens.
It did feel like a lifetime. It was weird. Dante was great.
Now. And you.
Woo! Oh, great. Here we go. Great. Now, okay. Anyway, here we go.
That was a real challenge. So any blind listeners, I feel empathy for you now. And if you want to isolate that and cancel me, please feel free to and end this
Very
misery
good.
That is life.
Very good. Very good. Dante was great. He was a lot of fun and he did a wonderful job, but it was weird doing the show without you. It was kind of, it did feel like a little bit like wife swap or something like that, you know?
I love that you know that show. It's so freaky.
Is it still on?
I don't know, but I it's funny because I was just talking to Margaret Cho, and when I say that, I mean like we spent months trying to get her to do Guys We Fuck podcast, and then eventually we wore her down. And she was on Celebrity Wife Swap one time, and it seemed like she was regretful about not having children, and so I asked her about it because I was worried because I had decided not to have children, and then she was like, oh yeah, no, I was maybe just having an emotional day. I stand by not having children. And I was like, yes, vindicated.
She dated a friend of mine for a very long time. I wonder if he was the wife swap.
I knew you'd have a connection to her.
I knew her before she dated my friend. But yeah, no, she did date... They dated for a very long. I just wonder if he's who they swapped with, or you know, or maybe it was when she dated Tarantino. I don't think the show was on back then.
I didn't know she dated Quentin Tarantino. Wow, he has eclectic taste. Yeah.
I don't think I've just made that up. Yeah, I think he dated her and then Mira Sorvino, or vice versa. But I think those were his back to backs. I remember seeing him on the Ricky Lake show.
Yeah.
When he was dating Mira Sorvino, And this is when like everybody thought Mira Savino was like the hottest woman on earth, and she was gorgeous. And then I remember him telling Ricky Lake on the show, he's like, I love my Mira, but he talked about the crush he had on Ricky Lake, particularly when she was heavy in Hairspray. So I think he just likes what he likes all over.
Yeah. I mean,
He's got no type.
Ricky Lake is kind of a snack. I get that. There's something about her. It's a little bit Monica Lewinsky. You know, she has that vibe. She's just going to really give it to you. Give it to you good.
Yes, I agree. I agree. She does look like she. All right. Yeah.
What a turn the show has taken already. I love it. I love it.
I couldn't think of what I was trying to say in any way that it would sound respectful. So I just didn't say it. I was like, I'm not going to say.
Oh my God. And I also like, I wasn't gone because I had to like back spinal surgery or anything. I'm just leaning into the microphone because this is a new microphone and I have to talk right up into it so you guys can see my pores. And let me tell you, they're not great.
You look nice. Stop. You stop but, with that.
I mean, I'm literally sitting in front of a mural of myself, Joe. You don't need to give me encouragement.
I know.
But I do want to specify, just because I feel like people overuse family emergency, like I'm not going to talk about what's going on in my life, but I do want everyone to know it's not like I had a bad breakup or something. Like it's a legitimate life or death emergency. So that's all. I realize I have never not showed up to a podcast I was a co-host of in over 7 years, like since I started Guys We Fucked. So like that's how serious it is. Thanks to everyone who messaged me. I appreciate it. And, you know, with or without me, the world is still falling apart. So we have comfort in that.
Everything is falling apart everywhere. This is a disaster.
It's so bad.
I mean, it is just like, Jesus Christ. I mean, if you went down the bullet points of everybody's bad luck runs in the last like 3 months in particular, like personal tragedies, it's just unbelievable. I'm sorry you're going through what you're going through. You're a sport and a trooper for being here. Sport's the wrong term, but you know what I mean? You're like a soldier for being here. I never, in a million years.
Honestly, I think I'd be better at being a soldier than a sport. So it would be more effort to play the sport.
And also Sporty Spice, right?
Joe, did you just say that to me? You think that out of the Spice Girls, I'm Sporty Spice? Jesus Christ, no wonder you're not attracted to me.
It's just one of the Spice Girls is named, there is no Soldier Spice, which would be a good Spice Girl name.
All right. So, Soldier Spice.
Market.
Tight creases on her bedding.
Yeah. Name of the episode. Soldier Spice.
Another Spice Girls titled episode.
Yeah. I mean, they can every week for all I care. I don't give
a shit. Victoria Spice.
Oh gosh.
That's right.
Spice Girls are the only thing that keeps me going, honestly. So
well, speaking of weird names, let's get into Twitter talk before we get too far away here from it. But you brought a story in this week. Wow, this one really took me for a ride. You take the wheel because you were really excited about this one. The singer.
I know what it is.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
What's that?
So we had to. I'm just pulling up the document because I forgot I restarted my computer 87 million times. But yeah, this first Twitter talk article is about Sia and how she's in hot water because she penned a movie script. I guess they're just letting anyone write movie scripts now and making them into features. And it's called Music. And she has, okay, for first of all, well, I guess I'll read the article first and then I'll address all the problems I have. But it's about a young autistic person who really finds, I guess, peace in music. And she has a not autistic person playing the autistic person. And Twitter did not like that. So the article is from Slate, and it's the section is called Browbeat, which already I'm annoyed because they have all these like cunty little sections of online newspapers now. It's just like, why, this is bad, Zaddy. And like, then it's just an article that no one cares about. But anyway.
And by the way, did you notice before you get into the article, under Slate, I mean, fuck Slate forever, based just on this. Under Slate, they write nasty wordsmiths. I never noticed they did that before.
Oh, mine says, mine doesn't say that. Mine says 10 minutes of heartfelt unloading. Which I actually hate more.
They both suck. They both suck. Anyway, all right. Sorry. I just wanted to.
You know, some NYU student fucking got hired right out of college just to write the pithy sayings under the Slate logo at slate.com.
What a bunch of shit. Yeah.
So the article starts out, the celebrities are back at it again. Since the disaster of that Imagine video from approximately 25 years ago, beginning of the quarantine, the rich and famous have largely seemed to recognize that this is neither the time nor the place for their antics. Except you, Dolly Parton, keep doing what you're doing. Bitch, Dolly Parton isn't reading your Slate article, you dumb cunt, yeah. Rochelle. Okay, anyway. I'm in a mood. So Sia basically started on Thursday. Sia tweets out the trailer for her new movie, Music, which I will, it's neither here nor there that under the title Music, it says a cinematic experience from Sia. I'll just digest that one for a second. And in the tweet, she says, the news you've been waiting for, prayer hand, the praise Jesus hands emoji. Music, the movie written and directed by Sia and starring Kate Hudson, Leslie Odom Jr., and Maddie Ziegler, who is a dancer, not an actor, will be arriving in early 2021. Watch a sneak peek of the movie right here. So I actually caught wind of I caught wind of the backlash before I had even known this, that this movie existed, which I think is actually normal for Twitter these days. That's how you find out about things. You know, outrage is its own publicist and it doesn't cost $4,000 a month. So that's nice. So I saw someone, you know, replied under it and God, there's so many annoying responses. And I gotta say, all the annoying responses, the person always has their pronouns in their Twitter name. I mean, like they always, it always starts out with sigh, I am disappointed in you. Like, and then it says like Margaret, she, her, and it's like, oh my God, happening. And so there's a couple of replies. God, I wish I had the first one that I saw because it was so annoying. But one person named Margot Jaffe goes, sigh, yet another example of Hollywood casting a non-disabled actor to play a disabled actor. When doing a film about autism, hire hashtag actually autistic folks to work on it. And Sia goes on to respond that there's at least like over a dozen people on the spectrum who are working on the film. And she said they actually had started the process by hiring an autistic actor for the lead role, but that autistic actor found, you know, the process of being the lead in a fucking Hollywood film to be unpleasant, which as someone who's like been in a web series and isn't autistic, I go, yeah, it's not fun. None of this is fun. Except
a lot of pressure.
Of course. And it's a grueling schedule. I mean, I don't know what the laws are, but I'm imagining they're not doing the same laws, you know, where like a kid where you switch the kid out. Like, I mean, unless they can find maybe autistic identical twins, that could be, I don't know if you're out there, but tweet me.
I mean, the amount of people that wrote back to her on this, you know, that were saying like, I'm an autistic actor and I wrote to you and I said I would have starred in this. And it's like, who the fuck are you? Like, what are you talking about? Like, as if it just works like that. As if anything just works that way. Here's a situation where she had somebody that she was trying to do the right thing. The person had a hard time. Then she turns around and tries to do the right thing again by putting somebody who might not have these emotional traumas in dealing with the job. She's like trying to two times now do the right thing. Nobody gives her the benefit of the doubt. Nobody's letting her breathe. And that's what's such a bummer about her response to all these people writing to her, because she shot herself in the foot with the way she reacted to everybody. If she had reacted more gracefully, I would have said, ah, man, I 100% believe that she tried to do the right thing. And because of her reactions, that's when I started to be like, eh, maybe she's full of shit. I don't know.
Well, my take on it was, I mean, she reacted the way that we all want to, anyone who's experienced right. this internet backlash wants to actually respond in their hearts. So I do appreciate the genuineness of it. But I feel like she shot herself in the foot when she made this movie and put out this trailer, because goddamn, it's so bad. It looks like an SNL sketch. Like it looks like an SNL parody of a movie about, and I'm going to legitimately say it because this is the word, about a retarded person. Maddie Ziegler is a dancer and it shows in every frame. She is straight up doing it like worse than fucking Sean Penn in where he played. What was that movie?
I Am Sam. I Am Sam. I mean, that's and he actually got a claim for that, which is hilarious, because that is the movie that like became the example to make fun of what actors do when they won an Oscar. Like that was like clearly the basis for the gag in Tropic Thunder. And you know what I mean? Like,
right. But, well, I mean, Maddie Ziegler is just walking around, and it's like a lot of people who just like aren't Leslie Odom Jr. What is his most famous role? Do we remember?
I don't even know who that is. I didn't know who Sia was really? Until I saw this article. I don't know anybody. I knew Kate Hudson was.
That seems like a you problem. Sia's very famous. She's the most famous for being a songwriter, but now she has her own hits. And she's the one who kind of I know what she looks like. That's because I have an internet stalking problem. But she's the one who wears like the hair, the wigs down to her eyes with the big bow on top when she's on red carpet so no one knows her true identity.
I found a lot of regular pictures of her today, and she looks so much like this woman I dated that used to get, who was batshit, who just would get cocked, just fucking cocked on drinks.
Does that mean drunk? Because I interpret it first as someone who gets laid a lot.
No. Cocked. Like I say cocked when I mean like they would get like sideways. Drunk wasn't the word, you know, and Sia looks so much like this woman. It was almost disturbing to me a little bit.
But, well, you know, there's a wig over their eyes because they're gorgeous.
I didn't think she was ugly. I just said she reminded me of a lunatic that I knew.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. You know, look, one thing I thought that was interesting about this topic or the story, sorry, was there was this thing. I can't remember if it was in this article that you had sent or if I stumbled onto it because of this article, but I started reading this thing. I think it was in this article because it was about how the movie dealt with the condition of autism. And it was this thing about like, we don't appreciate this concept of we need to find a cure for autism, because that insinuates that there's something wrong with these people and there's nothing wrong with that. And it's like, guys, are we at a point of political correctness where we are now going to not try to find ways to remedy a hindering condition for people in order to just show that we are accepting? Like, and it literally said, we shouldn't be looking for cures. We should be looking for ways to accommodate. It's like, are you fucking crazy?
Have they run that by autistic people? Like have they run that by my friend whose autistic brother used to beat her up every day before school? Obviously, that's a severe case. But like, yeah, I absolutely agree with you. That's ridiculous. It's this. I think there's a happy medium, you know, between where it says in the Bible that we should basically be slaughtering people who aren't, you know, in quotes perfect, whatever that means to you. I'm sure even the use of that word is problematic, and just not offering people solutions anymore. Like, what are we going to do? Just ride out cancer now? No, it's great. I love this.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just become. it's absurd is too flippant, in my opinion, is too flippant a word to apply to this. It's become dangerous. It's become detrimental. These are people that have certain conditions that they would undoubtedly. I'm not saying they can't live with it. I'm not saying they can't adjust. I'm not saying they should be treated any differently because of it.
Of course.
But undoubtedly, they would have less hurdles to get over in life if they didn't have the condition. That's why every year there's a huge fundraiser that was on Comedy Central, then I guess it went to HBO or vice versa, where they're trying to raise millions of dollars to help this out. It's like saying, we don't need to fix homelessness. We just need to accommodate it. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
How about we accommodate it with a house?
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you.
Yeah. And like, as someone like, so I don't have autism, but as some like I obsessive compulsive disorder and autism do share a lot of similarities. And so even something as minor as that, like, yeah, I would love just a straight up cure for that. So I didn't have to fucking, you know, touch my right ear 16 times. So I didn't think a family member was going to die because that impedes my day. It's not right. A great use. Why was Corinne late? She had to tap her foot a couple times. So she didn't the fear of death lingering over her all day.
Yeah, it's
like that. That's a legitimate thing. And it sounds hilarious because it like, I mean, when I say it, I understand it's like funny. But like, imagine like what kind of anxiety that gives a person.
By the way, also, I will give a big inappropriate joke nod to Sia because I laughed my balls off that she actually responded to one of the autistic people saying, "We all wrote to you to be in the movie," and her response was, "Maybe you're just a bad actor." Wow, she is gangster.
Yeah,
very funny.
I will say though, the weird thing is like, okay, so the trailer's god awful. It's just like none of the actors like go together. They're just doing like, it's so weird. It's very obvious they stuck Leslie Odom Jr. in there because they're like, oh, we'll put a black actor as the lead and distract from the fact that the autistic lead isn't autistic. Like to me, it was just very transparent. And then Maddie isn't an actor. She's a dancer. And that shows, like, I mean, wow, what a role to sink your teeth into as your first one, because even in the credits it says "and introducing Maddie Ziegler." And then thirdly, I gotta say, Sia has a weird relationship. I'm not calling her a pedophile. This isn't a cutie situation, but I will say, all you guys fucking got so worked about cuties, maybe get worked up about the fact that Sia's best friend is a teenager. Because that's the only person she's following on Twitter. This is a woman who she was making. I mean, this is a girl she was making viral videos with throughout the quarantine. Like, it's weird. And I understand people have like proteges or they come across someone who becomes their muse and they like to work out with time after time. But it's weird when like you're in your 40s and the person's a teenager. I think that's strange.
It's a little odd. It's a little odd. Yeah. You don't want to like kick it with them. This is very similar to the one we just talked about. John Cleese of Monty Python. Please tell me that you know
that you're familiar with that.
I am familiar with it. Camilla, his daughter, is a good friend of mine. She's very sweet.
Guys, we gotta start a 6 degrees of Joe DeRosa drinking game. Please. I don't have time. I have a crisis going on.
I know them all, and it's gotten me nowhere.
I know the ex-husband of one of his daughters because I hit on him at one of those fucking dinner parties where they invite a bunch of C-listers, and then they're like, "Guess what the other one does?" And then everyone guessed that I was a makeup artist or fashion designer, and I was like, "Damn, I come off like a real Dumbo."
So he got accused of transphobia on Twitter after he doubled down on support of J.K. Rowling. So comedian John Cleese is catching heat. This is from MovieWeb.com, one of my favorite gossip sites for celebrity news. Comedian John Cleese is catching heat on social media after doubling down on his support of J.K. Rowling with his tweets that many have called transphobic. The 81-year-old star, best known for Monty Python, And Fawlty Towers sparked outrage after previously signing a letter in solidarity with the Harry Potter author. A million fucking people signed a letter with her, including Gloria Steinem. Thank you. On Sunday, Cleese's name began trending on Twitter after followers noticed he responded to some of his own detractors with a remark that some deemed as transphobic as what Rowling had said in the past. Here's his response. Deep down, I want to be a oh my God.
I can't believe you're laughing at that, you fuckface.
Deep down, I want to be a Cambodian policewoman. Is that allowed or am I just being unrealistic? Almost immediately, the tweet drew anger from his followers. It's just so flippant. Oh my God. Anyway. And then right into that, Pete Davidson calls J.K. Rowling's comments on gender very disappointing. That's a different story. And then he said,
"Are you serious? Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a different story. I'll have to ask Pete about that.
Quick autocorrect. It's not Movie Web. This was Fox News.
Oh, it was? Oh,
autocorrect.
Whoops. There we go.
Honestly, same news source.
One response said, "Oh man, I've been a fan of Monty Python and some of your other work for years, and it's so disappointing to see you take such a hurtful stance on this issue. Trans people are being attacked and invalidated from every angle, and instead of being supportive and uplifting, you say this." Fair enough. That's a fair enough and balanced response, you know. This next one, though, really bothered me. "I think you're too old, pal." I love how age discrimination, I love how the other type of discrimination goes out the window when your thing is discriminated against. Do you know what I mean? It's like, "I think you're too old, pal." Or like, that'd be like if it was like if Denzel Washington said this and they were like, "Oh, typically black of you, Denzel." You know what I mean? It's like, it's just so funny to me. Like, "Oh, I can discriminate as long as you discriminated first. And then, like, you know, we don't need to be ethical otherwise." Undeterred, Cleese attempted to take the high road by explaining to one critic that he finds woke culture irritating and said that he has bigger concerns than transgender people. Cleese said, "I am afraid..." This is where he gets himself into real trouble. "I'm afraid I'm not interested in trans folks. I just hope they're happy and people treat them kindly." He didn't have to say the first part.
Yeah, I mean, like, no one's interested in anyone but themselves. Like, we all get that. Right. That's the American way. Well, is he living in UK? Where is he?
He brings up the US and the UK, so who knows? "Right now, I'm more focused on threats to democracy in America, the rampant corruption in the UK, the appalling British press, the revelations about police brutality." Here's my point. He could have said, "Hey, guys, I want trans people to be as happy as anybody, and I don't want them to be discriminated against. I just have a lot of other things on my mind as well." But he really is saying, like, "Sorry, get to the back of the line," you know, which I don't think he should be saying. I think you can be compassionate and also say you don't have to overreact about certain things.
Right.
"It's a complete lack of perspective that bothers me. Of course, that goes with a complete lack of sense of humor." That was his response about woke culture. This is actually a good joke coming up. The actor attempted to write a woke joke that seemingly referenced the outrage of people. And then he wrote, "A production of Macbeth may be canceled because the man playing the lead revealed that he had never actually killed anyone."
That's funny. That's funny.
"Convicted murderers are now being sought." It's great. He goes, "Otherwise,
because obviously,
they will...
if you're a murderer, that's like a mental disability. And like, are we going to rectify people who are murderers? Or are we just going to like give them a comforting space to murder?
Give them allowances. Give them allowances. Yeah. Sexual offenders, sexual assaultists and pedophiles don't need to be fixed. They need to be accommodated. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise." Here he also wrote, "Otherwise, they will have to stage Chekhov's Three Sisters. One will be Inuit, Thai, and Samoan."
I love he, like, no one who's even getting into these internet fights is even going to understand any of these references. But
and the genius of it's three sisters and they're three different races. Like, that's really fucking funny, man, because they are almost doing that now. We talked about it with A Christmas Carol and some other things where, like, or they did it with when they did A Christmas Carol.
No, you're right. It's a Christmas Carol. It was.
It was both. They did it with Christmas Story and Christmas Carol, and the mom.
Oh, they did it with a Christmas Story.
They did it with both, where the mom in both was a black actor, and the children were just white kids.
Yeah. Well, you'll see it in commercials too. Every new commercial you see now, it's somehow a family where I guess all the kids were adopted because they're all, everyone's a different race. And they just do it. They're like, oh, let's just, you know, they can't just have a family of black actors. Instead, they're like, okay, it's like a black mom, a white dad, and then just whatever came out of her pussy. You know, it's just, and then there'll be like a Filipino in the back and you're like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, there's never and it's yeah, it's a little I mean, look, as an adopted person, you point it out a little bit, you know what I mean? Like somebody,
right.
I've had people say to me, "You don't look anything like your parents," and I immediately go, "I'm adopted."
Yeah.
Like, it's something that comes up. Yeah.
Because it's not people being shitty. It's just human curiosity. Like right. I understand it's like it's not the most important thing. But yeah, it's not the most important thing. So just address it. And then people can stop wondering about it because they're just going to wonder about it. Like you're not going to stop human curiosity.
Now, here's the last thing that he wrote. Or this might have been a previous post or something, but I think he makes a good point here, and I think this is why it's a shame that he was so, I guess, crass would be the way to put it, or clumsy maybe, with some of his other remarks. The jokes were very funny, but like just saying, I'm not interested in trans people. It's like, yeah, but now you're taking the legs out of the out from under the valid argument you're making because now you're just being a dick. But he wrote, yes, my understanding is superficial. One thing, when a woman who was once a man is competing against women who have always been women, I think she has an advantage because she inherited a man's body, which is usually bigger and stronger than a woman's. Does that prove phobia? I think he makes an excellent point, and I think this is something that has been debated and argued about this gender debate or discussion, rather, that we're all having. And I think, like, because one of the reasons we can't have this discussion is because now all anybody is going to focus on is the flippant stuff he said. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
They're just going to focus on the shitty part.
And I think it took away also because he obviously didn't put a ton of time and thought into these tweets, whereas I think J.K. Rowling really did put a lot of thought. She obviously read a lot of materials before she wrote her piece. And it really amazes me, like, because of some really intelligent colleagues of ours just hate J.K. Rowling. And when I see what they're saying about her, I go, did you actually read the piece that she wrote? Because I know members of the LGBTQ community who read that piece, who are smart people, who go, yeah, I mean, there was a couple insensitive things that she wrote, but overall, if you are just responding to the backlash she received and didn't actually read her blog post about it or whatever we're calling it, then like you would also think she's a bad person. But anyone who I know who definitely has read it thinks it's well thought out.
Well, also, too, those are the same people. Now, this is not me taking any sort of a side. This is just a valid point I'm about to make, in my opinion. Those are the same people that have no leeway whatsoever. Not your friends, I'm not talking about, but like the other people that are like, this is just insensitive and it doesn't matter about her experience. She needs to open her mind. These are the same people that applauded a Target being burned down in the interest of bringing focus to a marginalized group's rights in this country. So they apply an understanding of insensitivity when they when it is convenient for them to apply it. When it is not convenient for them to apply it, they will refuse to apply it, which goes back to my point about it's okay to age discriminate as long as the person you're being ageist against is being an asshole. So we'll see after a little while. But it's not okay for Sia to be shitty to an autistic person who's being rude to her outwardly. This is all a bunch of bullshit. None of the rules apply to everybody all the time. Now, again, I'm not taking a side. I'm not saying that I'm on one side or the other, the target being set on fire. But I'm saying if you're somebody that is sitting there saying, good for them, this is what needed to happen so we could finally understand the outrage, can you not understand that a woman, that a cis woman might have a certain amount of outrage of her own and might have a little bit of insensitivity when discussing a trans woman versus a cis woman's experiences? Can we not wrap our head around that? I don't get it. I just don't get it.
And also, it's like you could just ignore John Cleese's thoughts on trans people because, like, that's not really his line of expertise and, like, kind of no one asked him in the first place. So just ignore it. Like, this is the most press. And and this is no disrespect to Monty Python or John Cleese, obviously a legend. But it's like, you know, people seem to not realize that, like, when they do this, this is the most press John Cleese has got in a fucking decade.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, too, it's like, this is an 81-year-old man. Are you really this worried about his views on trans people? Like, who gives a shit?
Now, are you being an ageist, Joe? Are you being an ageist?
I mean, maybe I am. I don't know. But my point is like, John Cleese isn't going to be the guy with the picket signs on the opposite side of the protest. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not going to actively get out there. And his influence is not... I mean, just look at the response of people that are pro John Cleese and his argument versus the people that are anti John Cleese and his argument. Your answer's right there. Everybody getting mad about what he is saying and what he and his you're the next run of people. Mm-hmm, it's like you're the next crew. Like, you're the ones that are going into the jobs for the first time, and you're the ones that have positions of authority right now. What the fuck are you worried about with John Cleese? That a bunch of other old people are going to be like, I don't get this trans thing. Yeah, that's what your grandparents are probably saying, too. They're also not going to go out and march against it. They're just going to fucking scratch their heads and then go back to eating their crumb cake.
Yeah, they're not going to hire a trans sex worker. And then when the genitalia doesn't match what they thought, it should be murder that person. So, like, that's what we should really be concentrating on. It's just like when we nitpick everything, like then the group that we are, you know, think we are trying to help so much gets no help. It's this really special thing that woke people do, where they spend so much time fighting for justice that the group that they care so much about gets no help because all the time and energy is taken up by them arguing.
I don't know if we ever did it or not, but we wrote a monologue when I was working on the Pete Holmes talk show. It was called Hating Things Isn't a Personality. And it was about people that just shit on stuff and think that gives them a person. And it really, when you boiled it down, if you kind of stripped away all the punchlines, what it was about were sort of hard-headed conservatives that walked around saying everything new was dumb and why can't it be like it used to be and this, that, the other thing. Woke people are the flip side of that coin. They have created a personality out of being sensitive and being outraged. And that is now their personality. So they have to fan the flames 24/7 or they have no personality left. They don't understand. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like George Carlin would do a dissertation attacking pro-lifers for 25 minutes and then follow it with like 6 minutes of fart jokes to be like, hey guys, I kind of balance it out here. You know what I mean? It's not all going to be me giving you my thoughts on social issues or whatever. There's a give and a take. They don't get that other side of it. They only see, they don't understand, like, every Public Enemy record also has the Flavor Flav party songs sprinkled in, you know? Yeah. Like, they just don't
Everyone
get
who fights
it.
On the internet are the same people who say, I like all music except country. Like, you're boring. No one likes you.
Yeah, I know. Just the worst. All right, quick break so we can talk sponsors. And I love this sponsor. It's Omigo. You know, I love Omigo, the modern day bidet brand, changing your whole bathroom experience. I got one. I love one. I don't know what else to say. I don't like using a lot of toilet paper. I think it's messy, and I think it's, you know, it's a little much, to be honest. And I like to be truly clean as a man covered in curly hair, as I've established before on this show. And nothing makes me feel clean more than my Omigo. gets me feeling fresher. These aren't those old school bidets. They attach right to your toilet. It's super easy. I didn't have to call a plumber. It was totally DIY. It took me about 15 minutes. So, you know, I mean, why not do yourself this favor? Fresh water, it just cleans better. So go check out Amigo. It's a total game changer. They got a bidet for every toilet, every butt, every budget. Go to myomigo.com/country and you're going to get 15% off today. That's myomigo.com/country and get 15% off today. Get a bidet today. Back to the show. All right, we should move to the next. The third Twitter talk story actually ties right into our first story, and these are really very brief. This is just about. I'll just read the. There's one blurb in this that's worth reading. The presidential Twitter handle at POTUS will automatically transfer to President-elect Joe Biden the moment he is sworn in at noon on Inauguration Day, whether or not President Donald Trump has conceded. The company Twitter confirmed to Politico on Friday. Same goes for at White House, at VP, at FLOTUS, and a handful of other official accounts associated with the presidency. So when I first flagged that story, obviously for Twitter talk and something that on the nose involving Trump and Twitter, was pretty relevant, but it became even more relevant when we found out, and again, this is just something that we need to mention, not necessarily delve too deep into, because there's not really much to delve into, but the announcement, as of this recording, it was yesterday, CNN broke the story. Key government agency acknowledges Biden's win and begins formal transition. So the part worth mentioning here is the General Services Administration has informed President-elect Joe Biden that the Trump administration is ready to begin the formal transition process, according to a letter from the administrator Emily Murphy sent Monday afternoon and obtained by CNN. The letter is the first step the administration has taken to acknowledge President Donald Trump's defeat. Murphy said she had not been pressed by the White House to delay the formal transition and did not make a decision out of fear or favoritism. The letter marks Murphy's formal sign-off on Biden's victory, a normal perfunctory process known as ascertainment. The move will allow the transition to officially begin, permitting current administration agency officials to coordinate with the incoming Biden team and providing millions in government funding for the transition. Trump tweeted moments after the letter was reported, thanking Murphy, for her work and affirming the decision to start the transition. Here, of course, is where it has to go, Trump. It can't just be graceful. I want to thank Emily Murphy at GSA for her steadfast dedication and loyalty to our country. She has been harassed, threatened, and abused. And I do not want to see this happen to her or her family or employees of the GSA. Okay. That sounds nice of you. Our case strongly continues. We will keep up the good fight, and I believe we will prevail. So he's conceding without saying he's conceding.
Yeah, he's just someone who can't admit that he's wrong or that he lost. And that's that. You know what? There's just some people like that. I'm that person.
I agree. I do that too. And then he also wrote, nevertheless, in the best interest of our country, I am recommending that Emily and her team do what needs to be done with regard to initial protocols. And I've told my team to do the same. Yeah. Trump is just one of those guys where it's like, he goes, I'm really sorry about what I said. Now, I wouldn't have said it if you didn't say what you said. You know what I mean? You're like, dude, just say sorry.
It's so weird because I find myself, you know, and I do think he's a bad person and stuff, but I do find myself feeling sympathetic towards him sometimes because I'm like, this behavior to me exhibits just someone who has like a lot of deep trauma, and I know. And I don't want to, when I find myself feeling it, I try to stop it, but I go, you know, sometimes when I look in his face, I go, Jesus Christ, I kind of feel bad for this guy.
I feel very sorry for him. I feel sorry for him in the way that I feel bad for like the kids on Cobra Kai, like. Who are like,
it's amazing how much sex you have considering what a fucking nerd you are.
But did you ever watch it? Did you ever watch Cobra Kai?
No, I have sex with men.
Well, that'll get you more sex with men. Trust me. No, but the kids that are on like the evil karate team, they're all kids. Like they're so in the original movie, in the original Karate Kid movie, Cobra Kai was the evil team, right? Mm-hmm. They were the bad guys, and the kids were just assholes, and that was it. The show, 30 years later, whatever it is, it explores why these kids are assholes. And you start to, and you learn very quickly, these are kids that were like bullied. Nobody accepted them. People made fun of them. And like they find this place that treats them, teaches them to be strong. And then they swing it too far in the other direction. So I feel like Trump is one of those kids. Like I feel sorry for him because I'm like, I feel like this guy just needs a fucking real friend and like a hug. Like where it's yeah. like, dude, you've never had a real friend, have you? You've been like a rich kid your whole life. And like, you've never been able to trust anybody. And your dad was a fucking lunatic. And like, you don't get along with your family. And you've only ever had relationships that were very superficial with women. And like, you just don't know what love is, man. Like, I feel like I've talked to so many friends.
There is a part of me that like, if I ever meet him, like I'm not going to be like, yeah, I'm a fan or something, but I'm not going to be rude to him. I just don't think that's the way in, you know, that's certainly not the way in to a bully, right. You know, and a bully in school, if you're, you know, punch them in the face, that doesn't get through to them. Then they just punch a bunch of other innocent kids. Like the way is right. kind of taking them aside and being like, hey, like what's going on? You all right? Can I right. help with anything? You know?
Right. And that's what's funny about what we were complaining about earlier about accommodation versus solutions. That goes too far. You know, mm-hmm. my nephew, Anthony, who's passed, I guess is the nice way to say it. I blame that on. I do not only blame that on. Well, there's a lot of factors I blame that on. But his he got kicked out of every fucking school he ever went to. And I remember I took him to a school, like he was in like a delinquent school. And I took him one day, he was being right. a real shit, man. He was being a real shit. And I finally got him to go to the school and like we went in and I was at my wit's end and his, like we went into the principal's office. He was like 2 hours late for school or 3 hours. And then the principal was like, he's like, I'm not fucking going to class. I'm not fucking going. And she was like, it's okay, yeah. Anthony, you don't have to go. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here, guys? Like, right. what is this? So it swings way too far in the other direction. And
did he have a disability or was he just like a disturbed kid who acted out, or did he have an actual disability or what was happening with Anthony?
No, he didn't have it. He might've had a, no, he, as far as I know, he wasn't, he didn't have a, he might have had some ADD or something like that, but like nothing like severe.
He was more like, catch me outside, how about that? Bad baby, right? Like someone who just is like 14 and like chain smoking cigarettes and saying fuck you to her mom.
Yeah, worse than cigarettes. Yeah, but yes. Yeah. Yeah. He was.
Just smoking cigarettes like a bad boy.
Yeah, it wasn't the 50s. But I mean, he was a troubled kid, and like, and sadly ended his life at a very young age. I think he's 21. But like he was taken. You know, he was taken away from his parents because they were a mess. Then he lived with my aunt, who was his grandmother. But he would start to get physical with her, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was like, dude, like, this is the thing, like. People think, as I sit here and say, we need to have some idea of discipline, whatever. People think discipline is so easy. It's not so easy. Like when you have
God, no.
15 or 16 year old kid who's like, I'll put my fucking hands on you right now. You got a real problem because he was a strong kid. And you're like, I don't know what to do right. It's almost like as a guy, the only thing I could relate it to is like if you dated a woman who got physical with you all the time, you would be like, I don't know how to handle this. Like I can't hit her. But she's putting her hands on me. You know, we and Dante talked about this last week.
Actually. Joe, I mean, I have a 17-pound dog. And when I give him an actual like animal part to chew on, you know how they have like real animal parts for dogs sometimes in the dog store. I realize that gives him food aggression and he growls at me. And like, I go, okay, I'm just going to go in the other room now because I'm scared.
Your dog is 17 pounds, by the way.
Yeah, why? Well, how many pounds did you think he was?
Like 11. He's small. Mm.
It's all muscle, baby. He got long. He got those long legs.
Good for him. Good for him. Yeah. Don't show it.
He carries it well.
Rhyme it. I don't know how to rhyme. I was trying to think of a rhyme. Anyway, well, listen, we should let's just jump right into, speaking of undisciplined children, why don't you bring us right into the next story, Corinne? It's
the
about
Tyson one.
No. Oh, which,
wait,
Kyle,
I'm sorry.
America's favorite son, Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yeah, because I think you sent over the outline when I was in the midst of my drama, so I didn't see it. But so Kyle Rittenhouse is this one. All right, so Kyle Rittenhouse is free on bail. You remember him from, you know, being a teenager who was killing people. He's a murderer. In short, Kyle Rittenhouse is a murderer. And I'm going to pull up this article. We're not laughing because it's funny that he murdered people. No, we're laughing because of the hypocrisy of the United States of America. So my article is from Mother Jones, which is left, but I do love Mother Jones, and it's not just because they gave me and Christina Hutchinson a great piece, but by Samantha Michaels. The title is What Kyle Rittenhouse's $2 million Fundraiser Reveals About the Unequal System of Justice in America. Because it's a think piece, I'm going to try to read the whole thing. It's not that long. I just feel with think pieces, like you really can't summarize them because it's a person's thought. So Samantha says, the day he walked free, a black mother struggled to raise money to cover her son's funeral costs. On Friday, Cynthia Green stood outside a grassy field at a folding table selling French fries, corn fritters, and rib sandwiches to try and raise enough money to bury her 18-year-old son who had been shot dead by a sheriff's deputy in Cocoa, Florida 1 week earlier. God damn, that's fucking sad. Green couldn't afford the funeral costs on her own, and that's not unusual. Families often struggle to gather enough money for expenses after police shootings. And as someone who just buried a family member, it was $20,000, and we kept it real tight. Many state governments offer financial assistance to the victims of violent crimes, but victims of police violence don't qualify. Green's son, Sincere Peace, left their home in Cocoa around 10:30 a.m. on November 13th. And got into a car with some friends. Green, who is Pierce's great aunt and legal guardian, was leaving the house at the same time and noticed a couple of sheriff's deputies drive by. She got into her car and started following the deputies, afraid they might harass her son and his friends. A few minutes later, she watched as her son's car pulled into a driveway of a residential house. The deputies got out of their cruisers and ordered the driver to stop, according to the dash cam video. But he backed out of the parking space and started driving toward one of them. The officers say, please don't shoot. Please don't shoot. My baby's... the officers say, and then period. I read that wrong. So then now the mom is saying, please don't shoot. Please don't shoot. My baby's in that car, Green recalled screaming, according to a New York Times report. Deputy Jaffet Santiago Miranda fired his gun multiple times, killing Pierce and 16-year-old Angelo Crooms. Green says that from where she stood, their car did not appear to be heading toward the officer. The deputies later claimed they wanted to pull the driver over because they suspected the car was stolen, but a lawyer from Green argues it was not stolen. It belonged to Crooms' girlfriend. Police say two firearms were later recovered from the vehicle. Green is now trying to raise $50,000 for her son's burial expenses. By Sunday evening, she had gotten about $38,000 through GoFundMe. In other states, families who lost loved ones during police shootings have tried similar strategies. Michelle and Ashley Monterosa, whose brother Sean, 22, was shot in June by an officer in Vallejo, California, recently told me they also used the fundraising website to pay for his funeral. But there were other financial problems. The sisters said their mom was exhausted after her son's death, but could only take a few days off from work to grieve because of the pressure to keep paying bills. One of the sisters' high school teachers was trying to crowdsource funds from the community to help cover therapy costs. The same day Green was selling corn fritters to pay for her son's burial, Kyle Rittenhouse, 17, finished amassing $2 million in donations. It was enough to post bond so he could leave custody ahead of his trial, where he faces homicide charges for shooting three people who attended a protest against police brutality in Kenosha, Wisconsin in August. Rittenhouse says he fired his weapon in self-defense and that he went to the protest not to participate, but to prevent people from looting stores. Rittenhouse was fortunate to get out of detention. Around the country, people regularly get stuck in jail for months before their trials because they can't afford bail, and disproportionately, these are people of color. Rittenhouse, who is white, posted bond with help from his attorneys, who created a group called the hashtag Fight Back Foundation to raise funds for him. His attorneys have used their Twitter accounts to call for donations while they promote conservative causes and show their support for President Donald Trump. President Trump won re-election by a landslide. Biden cheated, tweeted Rittenhouse's attorney, Lynn Wood, who filed a lawsuit in Georgia seeking to block election officials from certifying Biden's win in the state. In another tweet on Friday, Wood thanked actor Ricky Schroeder and a Minnesota businessman allied with Trump for contributing to Rittenhouse's fundraiser and, quote, putting us over the top. Rittenhouse's case has become a cause celeb among the right wing. Last weekend, people at a pro-Trump demonstration in Washington, sorry, I forgot how to read for a second, chanted together, "Break out, Kyle." On Saturday, a state lawmaker in Florida, Representative Anthony Sabatini, tweeted, I'm just laughing because being from New Jersey, someone named Anthony Sabatini never said anything good. Anyway, Anthony Sabatini tweeted, Kyle Rittenhouse for Congress. Two other organizations, one that supports gun rights and another that supports militias, gave $100,000 total to Rittenhouse's mom, Wendy Rittenhouse, according to the Chicago Tribune, which cited another attorney, John Pierce, who has worked on the teen's case. She is using the money to pay her bills while she takes off time from working. In California, Sean Monterosa's mom might have benefited from the same break to process her son's death, but she had to keep showing up to work 7 days a week. Her family lives in a one-bedroom home in San Francisco. Sean, a carpenter, had contributed a sizable portion of their income. I talked to Sean's sister, Michelle, in August. It hits her hardest when she gets home at 4 p.m. That's when I see her cry every day, she said of her mom, who works as a caregiver for an elderly woman. That's around the time when Sean would come home from his job. So, I mean, yeah, this is just obviously an article kind of, you know, where the author took the time to compare how America treats, you know, people who are murdered by the cops who are black and white people who shoot up protests, you know.
Well, I mean, what I would say to that is anybody can start a GoFundMe to get out.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
For sure. Absolutely.
And it just seems that the people really come together for a kid like this for some reason. Look, and before you race to your computer to start calling me a liberal pig or that I'm a fucking idiot that supports terroristic groups that burn cities down or whatever it is, I think this kid's a fucking moron. I think the people that shot Ahmaud Arbery are fucking morons. The BLM guy that shot the cops is a fucking moron. I think the white dude who was part of Antifa that shot the Republican guy is a fucking moron. I think the chick that stood with the megaphone, who was black or Hispanic, it was hard to tell, but she wasn't white in the video. I knew that much. Saying that she didn't care that a fascist was killed today was a fucking moron. I think all of these people are fucking morons for the same reason.
Most people think they're superheroes.
Yeah, they all think they're superheroes. I don't care what side you're on. If you think you it's your God-given right to march into the street and protect what you think is worth protecting with violence, go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. They're not on your property. Talk to me when somebody comes onto your private property. Okay. I don't give a shit. You're not the fucking cops. You're not the fucking troops. You're not burning your city. Shut up. I don't give a fuck. Doesn't matter. Everybody that does this shit, right or left, is a fucking idiot. Real quick. Okay. So mine's from Breitbart. There's not much here besides the facts. Breitbart surprisingly taking an unslanted take.
Really? Because I thought the Breitbart article was just going to be a link to Kyle Rittenhouse's GoFundMe.
No. They really just were like, I mean, they softened the language a bit. Rittenhouse allegedly shot three people, two of whom succumbed to their wounds. That's a very nice way of saying that.
He murdered two people.
Yeah. Bright House News. This is the part worth mentioning. Breitbart News reporter A.W.R. Hawkins previously reported Rittenhouse told reporters he was in Kenosha to protect people's property, and in late September, his attorney, Pierce, told Breitbart News Sunday, Wisconsin is an open carry state. You've seen the video of what was going on in that city. It was a war zone, and Kyle had every right, just as much a right, to be there as the people that were trying to burn down the city. Yeah, you're 100% right. He had every right to be there with his gun. If it's an open carry state and he's got the gun legally, nobody's arguing that. But here's the argument. And he was attempting to protect property and attempting to be there to provide medical aid. Bullshit. That's not his fucking job. He is not a soldier.
No one asked you to do that, Kyle. Yeah.
He's not a guard for the city. He can walk around with the gun all he wants. He can go down there and march around all he wants. But the second he pulls the trigger, that's it. You're done. That's why he's guilty. Every person, Pierce added, every person that's seen any sense at all is going to take a weapon to that location. It was a legal weapon. Nobody's arguing that it wasn't a legal weapon. I can't comment right now further on the specifics of where the weapon was obtained. It was obtained as a legal weapon. It did not cross state lines. Okay, irrelevant. The charge is incorrect as a matter of law in Wisconsin. Unless they're charging him with illegal carry or brandishing a weapon illegally, the legal argument is not relevant here. Actually, that weapon can be possessed by anyone 16 years or older. As far as I know.
And isn't that crazy, though? Like this kid couldn't go into a bar and order a beer, but he can have a fucking weapon of that caliber. Like, that's so crazy.
I mean, it's crazy. That's crazy. Every rule, every law in the United States in comparison to voting that regards age is fucking crazy. You know, Rittenhouse was charged with first-degree intentional homicide, first-degree reckless homicide, and attempted first-degree intentional homicide. There's nothing here about illegal carry. Nothing. Nothing. Yeah. The argument isn't that. They're not even, he's not even arguing that he was attacked and it was in self-defense. This fucking kid marched in and shot people, period. And he's a fucking idiot for doing it. And I feel sorry for him because he was raised by people that clearly have supported him in doing this, that applauded him in doing this. And that really sucks for him because his life is probably going to be pretty fucked now, unless he gets unfair favoritism in the court system, which he very well may. Who knows? But the point I made my point. There's no other point. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I think it also, just as much as the left gets blamed for their use of identity politics, I think this is also a case of identity politics in a way, and why his GoFundMe raised so much more money than the other gentleman who was, killed by police officers, because, you know, to conservatives and people donating to this, they thought I'm not donating to Kyle Rittenhouse's GoFundMe because I particularly care about Kyle Rittenhouse. Like, to them, I really think it means more. It means freedom of their rights. It means their right to carry a gun. It means, black people aren't overshadowing white people in any way, which I think is this real weird fear that some white people have, that if we treat Black Americans as equals, it will somehow take away from us. And that to me is so strange. Like, what is going on in your brain? That you think that giving, a fellow citizen equality is going to take away from you?
I think a lot of people feel that about any, I think there is this, excuse me, weird clinging to the concept of what this country was founded on. And this country was founded on certain values that make sense on paper. But guys, we evolved, for Christ's sakes. I mean, anybody that is still like citing the founding fathers at this point, it's like, what? Yeah. Like, I mean, look, fuck political affiliation. Fuck even your socio-political affiliation. You're just a fucking nerd. Like, you're just a nerd. You're like these Civil War buffs that go dress up and reenact the battles and all this shit. You're just a geek, man. Like, get over yourself. My God almighty. Like, go argue comic books and why you're mad that Batman used guns in the Zack Snyder Batman versus Superman movie and how Batman would never. It's such fucking nerd shit. You know,
yeah.
I was just going to say, I get, obviously, I would think obviously to most people, it's not obvious to a lot of people. I fucking hate woke people. I hate PC culture. I hate Bleeding Hearts. I fucking hate it. The liberals do a lot of shit that fucking infuriates me, and I hate them as a whole. It fucking made me angry to have to align myself in any way with them because of not liking, because of just thinking Biden was a better person to be in charge for 5 minutes than Trump was. Yeah. I resented that. I truly did. It doesn't mean that I can't also hate the other side of this. I just don't get it. I don't understand why if you hate one thing, it means you have to not just in some way identify once in a while with the other side, 100% commit yourself to it. I will never commit myself 100% to the left, ever, 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 ever. I'm not doing it. There are times when I identify a little bit more with that side, like right now, because I'm not liking Trump and what he's done in his administration. And there are times when I identify a little bit more with the Republican side of things. Why has everybody lost sight of that? I don't understand. I can't wrap my head around it. I just can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just a whole nightmare. And like, I don't know. I don't know. And I think when the left makes mistakes, like with the MAGA hat kid and the indigenous person, you know, that kid who got awarded all the money from all the different media outlets. And we were on the right side on that one because the leftist media told the story that they wanted it to be after seeing that video, not the story in actuality. And that is completely irresponsible journalism. And we talked about that, and I still stand by that. But in this instance, like, it's not that. And I feel like it's like the, you know, kind of the boy who cried wolf. It's like now in an instance when this kid is a bad kid, and, you know, why he's a bad kid, I'm sure does have to do a lot with the home that he comes from. But, you know, that doesn't bring the two people he murdered back to life. So he obviously has to pay for his actions. You know, and now people think it's kind of another situation like that, when in reality it's just not.
Well, I think, yeah, and I really think the people that have donated, I think it's people who are so upset that they had to recognize that the George Floyd situation was clear-cut murder, that as soon as there was another situation that came down the pike, mm-hmm. where it was a white person killing a black person that they could somehow justify in their head as defense or whatever the fuck it was, they couldn't fucking wait to click on that donate button. They were so excited. They were so excited.
The money is a middle finger to liberals. It's more than it is an actual donation to Kyle Rittenhouse. And I think that's what this article is trying to point to. It's kind of like just how American citizens react to Kyle Rittenhouse in comparison to one of many, 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 many black people being unjustly murdered by the police. And I'm not saying that this black person was a young man was 100%, you know, in the right too. Obviously in the article, she's fair. The author covers, you know, the thing, all the facts about the weapons being found in the car and stuff. But I just, you know, I think of how many times, even as a teenager, I drove around and there were, you know, people smoking weed in the car, all this shit. And like the worst thing that ever came home, like happened was like a cop followed me home as I drove my car back to the driveway, but like didn't pull me over, didn't get out of that car, nothing. Like, and there's hundreds of stories like that every white teenager can share for, I would imagine. Like we, you know, it's, sure. We understand the white privilege. We get it.
But also, by the way, can we stop? And Dante and I talked sort of about this last week, but I'm going to expand on it. Can we stop this this falsehood, the spreading of this falsity that the people that love Donald Trump are poor whites. It's not. Poor whites have a shit fucking run of it in this country too. Okay? Poor whites have been discriminated against in this country too.
Yes, and that's why poor white people who support Donald Trump, you go, oh my God, he likes you the fucking least.
Here's the thing. What I'm about to say is I don't think it's poor white people. I've never met one poor white person that goes, I like Donald Trump. And I know poor white people. We all do.
What kind of poor, though? Because I will say, like, after I very recently was in a trailer park in Utah and there was a lot of Trump flags. And like, as I went to the outdoor shooting range with my friend, he was like, just so you know, if anyone asks, just say you like Donald Trump because we have guns in our hands and they have guns in their hands and it'll be for your safety.
All right. So look, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm pontificating down the wrong road here, but I'm just saying. You could also say Donald Trump has a huge Latinx support percentage and a huge black percentage of support and blah, 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 blah. What I'm getting at is this. Every single person I know that is gung-ho about him is somebody who is at least solid middle class, most of the time upper middle class, who has terror and fear of things that are never, ever, ever going to happen to them. I don't know what.
Well, I mean,
where
I think sometimes their fear is that their white daughter is going to bring home a black guy, and that might happen. But it's going to happen. It's maybe more likely to happen if you keep talking about loving Trump the way you do, fuckface.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. But I mean, it's just, I don't
like,
get
you don't know
it.
How our loins work. You don't know how they work. The more you hate a group, the more we want to fuck a group. This is purely hypothetical. Also, my parents don't care who I bring home.
But the point I'm getting at, I guess, is ultimately with Trump, to me, it's not about black and white. It's about wealthy versus poor. The people that like Donald Trump are wealthy and are sitting within their own comfort sort of zone, a lot of them, where it's like we don't give a fuck. We're not worried about other people. We're just worried about what we might lose personally. Look at Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne supporting Donald Trump. That's like, it doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
Well, he's pulling an O.J. Simpson, where you transition from being black or white or Latino to being just a rich person and a celebrity. And that's where you really see the disgusting part of a human come out. I disagree about the thing. I know there are a lot of rich people who like Trump, and obviously they're the kind of people who sheepishly say over, you know, caviar, I'm just voting Republican for fiscal reasons, and you guys can go fist your own assholes. I have no respect for you. But I think there are a lot of poor people, and this was a concept that was talked about a lot during this election. A lot of and I think it was something that the reason I think it's the difference between Donald Trump winning the first election and not winning the second time, because he was able to promise falsely, of course, a group of people, poor working white Americans, that he would pay attention to them because they have been an overlooked group. I 100% agree with you on that. They have been an overlooked group for a long time. The middle of the country is looked down upon, made fun of, and not helped. And people, you know, it's not even openly talked about how many poor white people are. There are, you know, Appalachia, et cetera. The second time around, I think hopefully enough of those people recognize that they weren't going to get the help they were offered. But and then the people who voted again, I think, still held on to the promise, and they were like, well, you know, at least poor black people aren't getting treated better than me under Donald Trump. There's something weird about a caste system, and it works when you have nothing, because. You know, if you have no money and you don't have a nice house, what you have is your whiteness. And in America, that still counts as something valuable. And so it's still an opportunity for these people to say, well, at least I'm poor and white, not poor and black. And I really think that is something there. And of course,
I do think, I do think there is something to that. And for anybody who thinks white privilege means white wealth or white opportunity. It doesn't. It just means that when somebody looks at you, they don't have an idea in their head beforehand.
Exactly.
If you're not dressed in an incredibly specific way, you know, yeah, obviously, if you come into the supermarket with in bare feet with your overalls rolled up and a corncob pipe and no shirt on, yeah, okay, yes. People are going to make maybe make a judgment. But I also don't think people are going to necessarily.
Is this know, a snowman I mean, brought to life?
You know, but anyway, we have to get to our last story. Let's skip the police deputy thing. It's who cares? It's, I mean, another
fuck that
idiot.
Guy.
Tweeting a it was a her actually it was a she.
I use guy non-gender.
Okay, you're so woke.
Well, you know what? When I was working at the spa that I worked at right before I became a full-time comedian, I said hi, guys, like really chipper to a couple women who walked into the spa one day, and they turned their nose up at me and they were like, guys, and I was like, relax, you're at a spa in Murray Hill, things aren't going that well for you.
Oh yeah, I remember I once said to this woman, she worked at a comedy club. And I walked in and I said, she was standing with a comedian I knew, but she was staff and the other person was just comic. And I go, hiya girls, like in like a funny, like 1920s right. voice.
Like
and she
comedy.
Goes, and the lady goes, girl, I don't think I've been called a girl since my vagina haired over. I was like,
ew.
First of all, that's the most You're disgusting assaulted. Thing I've ever heard. Second of all. Go fuck yourself, lady. Relax. Fucking.
Oh my God, Joe, you're a survivor. I'm going to refer to you as a survivor from now on because that was fucking assault. That's disgusting.
It's really gross.
All right, let's take a moment away from the news to welcome a new sponsor to the show. It's Hempire Direct. And I know you're thinking that sounds like a Gas Digital sponsor. And you're right. Fans of this show who are over 21, you're going to love Hempire Direct. And also any man I've ever dated. Why you're going to love this? Well, they can legally sell you Delta 8 THC in 42 states. And why are you going to love Delta 8? Because it gets you high. Really high. That's cute because it's like the airline, but you're not even leaving your house. I didn't personally use any of this, but man, I fucked a lot of guys who did, and they are wildin'. Hempire Direct offers Delta 8 in vape cartridges, gummies, distillate, soft gels, and tinctures. You guys know what's up. You don't have jobs. You know what all that means. It's all high quality, lab test verified, and they have incredible prices. Now, if you've never heard of Delta 8 THC, remember when you never heard of CBD, but then we gave you some weed education? Like CBD, Delta 8 is naturally occurring in hemp and can be sold legally in 42 states. But unlike CBD, D8 gets you high. And I mean, it really comes in handy when you have to deal with someone like me. Because, you know, at a certain point you go, am I the problem? Am I the constant in this state of variables? So you're going to go to Hempire Direct. It's spelled exactly how you would spell it if you were high and made up the name Hempire Direct. It's HempireDirect.com. Or you can download the Hempire Direct app in the episode description. And if you use promo code GAS50, GAS50, you're going to get 50% off your first order. That's right, 50% off your first order with code GAS50. HempireDirect.com or download the Hempire Direct app and use the code GAS50. Happy holidays, everybody. Now, let's get back to the show.
Do you want to do the first take on the last story about the Tyson
sure.
managers? And then
this was my personal favorite story of the week.
This one I started reading and I was like, this isn't so bad. What's the bad? And then as I kept reading, I was like, oh boy, this is really bad.
This is from NPR by Vanessa Romo. It's called Tyson Managers Suspended After Allegedly Betting If Workers Would Contract COVID. All right. In summary, Tyson Foods, you know, the people who produce 20% of beef, pork, and chicken in the U.S., has suspended managers at an Iowa plant accused of participating in a betting pool on how many employees would become ill with COVID-19. The suspensions come one day after the family of a deceased employee followed a lawsuit claiming fraudulent misrepresentations, gross negligence, and incorrigible, willful, and wanton disregard for worker safety at its pork processing facility in Waterloo, Iowa. We have suspended without pay the individuals allegedly involved and have retained the law firm Covington & Burlington, that doesn't sound like you're going to win, to conduct an independent investigation led by former Attorney General Eric Holder. Banks called the alleged behavior disturbing. He is among the people personally named in that lawsuit. Tyson, which reportedly had $42.4 billion in, Jesus Christ, in sales in 2019, has been family-owned for three generations, making the family one of the wealthiest in the U.S., according to Business Insider. The Waterloo plant is the largest pork plant in the country, employing approximately 2,800 workers. As of May, about 4,600 cases of the disease and 18 deaths have been linked to Tyson Foods, Business Insider reported. According to the court documents, company supervisors were instructed by the defendants to falsely deny the existence of confirmed cases or positive tests within the Waterloo facility as early as March. The plaintiffs say managers also continued transferring employees between plants after some had tested positive for the coronavirus without requiring them to quarantine. Between March and April and mid-April, Tyson leaders declined to shut down the plant despite multiple pleas from county officials, including the sheriff, Tony Thompson, who said conditions at the facility shook him to the core. And that's a sheriff. You know they don't even have failings, the documents allege. I've never even met a sheriff. All my knowledge of sheriffs is from like movies. Around this time, defendant Tom Hart, the plant manager of the Waterloo facility, organized a cash buy-in winner-take-all betting pool for supervisors and managers to wager how many employees would test positive for COVID-19, the lawsuit states. Meanwhile, employees complained to Waterloo healthcare providers that they did not have sufficient personal protective equipment and that social distancing guidelines were ignored on the plant floor and in the employee locker rooms. They also said under-resourced nurses could not accurately conduct temperature checks, and non-English-speaking employees mistakenly believed they could return to work while sick. At least one worker at the facility vomited on the production line, and management allowed him to continue working and return to work the next week, lawyers for Fernandez's family said. Who feels like chicken tonight?
I was bummed because I really like Tyson's frozen chicken.
Of course you do. Of course you do, Joe.
They make really good frozen like chicken fingers. They're really good. This is a real bummer.
The difference between you and I is that you love Tyson frozen chicken fingers, and I'm making my family go meatless for Thanksgiving and then also adopting a turkey from a farm sanctuary.
I'm having Thanksgiving just me and your partner. Your podcast
that makes me sound
partner.
Like I'm a this makes me sound like a lesbian, which people are.
Your lesbian podcast partner is coming over
with Christina Hutchinson. Hutchinson,
and then maybe
the
there. Yeah, there might be one or two other people, but right
there
now
there better be
the only,
Joe. There better be, because if it's candlelight dinner with you and Christina, I'm fucking coming back. I'm coming back from New Jersey, and I'm throwing hands.
It's hardly candlelight. We did a white trash theme. It's stovetop. Fried chicken.
Oh, there's a theme now? Well, how romantic. I'm fucking FaceTiming and you're not going to know when it's coming. I'm tapping Christina's house before I fucking leave for Jersey.
And it's starting at 1 p.m. So we're just going to get daytime shit. No hanky-panky ever happens in the day. We're going to be passed out by 5.
Keep giving me details. Give a crazy woman details.
I only bring it up because there's fried chicken involved. It was Tyson. But anyway, when I first read this, at the beginning of my story doesn't give any information that yours didn't, so I won't bother. But when I first started reading this, I thought it just mentioned the bet first, and I was like, that's not that crazy. Like, they're just saying, like, let's bet how many employees end up having this thing. And I was like, who cares? Like, what's the big deal about that? And then
you
as
didn't
I
realize
kept
it
reading,
was because of their own doing.
Yeah, then I was like, oh Jesus. Like, and like that was like crazy. But my story didn't have any of the information that about it had the thing about the condition shaking the sheriff to the core, but it didn't have the stuff about that they were telling people to deny their testing positive and all that shit. Like that was crazy.
God, so crazy, taking advantage of people who don't speak English as their first language. That's not good for, you know, woke people. Wait till they get a fucking load of that when they stop tweeting Sia about her autism movie. Maybe they'll get, you know, behind a real cause.
I mean, there's not much to say here. This is a really fucked up thing that they did.
I mean, like, okay, so number one, it's super fucked up. But number two, can you not see like a table of comics also doing this? Because that's what I was thinking the whole time. I go, God damn, I know some people who would do this.
I would 100% bet on this, but not if I was responsible for the people getting the thing. I mean, they're doing this like they treated these employees like it was a cockfight. They were like, yeah, let's throw them in the pen and see what happens. I wouldn't do it like that. But like if you were just like. I mean, I get. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's plenty of people do death pools and shit like that. But you don't go out and try to kill the people to win. You know what I mean?
And you also like you don't put it in your work documents. You don't reply all with a fucking Excel spreadsheet of the numbers. You keep it between a few close friends.
I mean, that's nuts. I mean, this is just goes to show you, and it's like, you know, this goes back to what we were saying earlier about Trump and never being loved. When you grow up with this kind of money, well, actually, it's not like the Tyson family themselves were the, you know, it's like the CEOs or whatever were doing it. But these are probably all guys that have been wealthy for a very, very long time if they're running this level of a fucking corporation. It's like, you just lose sight of, forget the humanity part of it. I'm not even referring to that. Forget they lose sight of humanity. You lose sight of what is just stupid. It's like, dude, you can't leave a paper trail like this. You've got to be, you're being really clumsy, you know, like.
Because money makes you feel invincible. That's the problem. Money makes you feel invincible. And in many ways, money does make you invincible. But I think that is one of the upsides to this current society is that, you know, it's requiring the wealthy to still have morals. I think the wealthy should be allowed to be wealthy and do whatever the fuck they want with their money. However, I think they should need to live under the same rules and laws that the rest of us live under. That's
do you ever feel invincible? Do you ever feel invincible from your money?
I don't have invincible money. I certainly do not. I'm at the level where I actually feel like more of a target than ever because like I have enough money that it makes other people angry, but not enough money to like have people go rough them up.
I feel like you have, here's how I would I mean, I don't know how much money you have, but this is how I would describe it. I can order any food delivery I want all the time and never even think about it.
That's exactly correct and accurate description of how much money I have.
Yeah, that's but nice.
I certainly don't have like never have to work again money. Not even close.
Right.
I mean,
right,
maybe if I lived in a different place in a tiny apartment, maybe even then I don't think so though.
I hear you. I bought the Xbox Series X from a guy off on Craigslist money.
Like, Joe, I'm already wet doing the show with you. Let's not get it out of control.
I could afford the extra $150 over market price. That's all I'm going to say. Folks, that's our show. We have to. We
have merch to plug and a Christmas. I'm sorry, holidays. For all the cucks watching.
Yes. So
my horoscope literally told me to stop rebelling and digging a hole for myself, and I said no thanks.
Real quick before we plug the merch, we need to announce. I forgot to announce it last. Actually, I wanted. I'm glad I forgot because it's better that we're doing it here together.
I'm gonna pretend I didn't hear that because I thought that you just saved it so that your girl was here.
I was so shaken up by you not being around that I I didn't have my wits about me last week. Now, the podcast just passed 1 million series downloads. So thank you so much to everybody for all your support. We really, really mean that. Whether you love us or hate us, thank you for listening and thank you for supporting in your own unique way. That's pretty cool.
in your own new unique way, you know, yeah. You're trolling us at for every episode. Well, I got a really nice message this week that did make me feel nice for half a second. It's calling you and I the best political pundits, and he's like, I don't want this to be true, but I think you guys are the best political pundits working today. And I said, oh my god, thank you. And even the fact where he like, it was kind of like a, you know, it was a backhanded compliment, somehow that made it even more powerful to me, you know?
No, I actually like that because I like that he's saying, like, what world are we living in that you sound as smart as the political pundits out there? Like, what is going on? Yeah,
I put it on my Instagram.
Yeah, I'll take that. I thank you, sir, whoever said that. Appreciate it. What is the merch sale now? The Christmas? Sorry.
We have hats now. So we have our awesome designed Without a Country logo, and you can wear it on a beanie. They're all black. A beanie, a dad hat, which is like a regular cap with the curled brim, or you can do the flat top. I don't know. What's that word? It's not flat top. The flat brim hat.
Yeah, like the snapbacks, the classic snapbacks.
And I think if you order, can Mike or Alex, if you can chime in what the actual sale is, if you know, it's like, I think like 10% off or something if you order, but you know, in the next week. And that also guarantees delivery for Christmas. If you're Jewish, sorry guys, Hanukkah comes very early this year, so you're fucked.
So yeah.
Yes.
It's guaranteed Christmas delivery if you order between now and November 30th. And if you order between Black Friday and Cyber Monday, you get 10% off site-wide or 15% off orders over $100.
And do they need to use a code or no?
No.
No code. So it's just going to podcastmerch.com. There's a drop-down menu of podcasts. You can select Without a Country. All our merch is there. I'm getting, if you guys are wondering, if you guys want to be like me, I am getting a dad hat because that's the kind of hat that looks best on me. I'm not a beanie girl. I never have been. I'm a dad hat girl. And I'm going to wear it to, you know, seriously run at the gym and not make eye contact with anyone whenever, you know, I'm allowed back in a gym again.
I'm going to get the winter one and the classic one, but I don't know when.
So we have it all covered between the three of us. I mean, the two of us with three hats.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody. And we hope you enjoy that stuff. And thanks for subscribing and all these things. I have a huge announcement. Not only is the Joey Rose's Sandwich Pop-Up Shop open for business at the Stand in New York City, thank you to everybody that's been coming out. The response has been really tremendous. We're overwhelmed. Thank you. This has been awesome. A lot of Gas Digital fans coming out, and I really appreciate it. And a lot of other fans coming out. I really appreciate it. We're open Wednesday to Friday, 12 to 4 p.m. each day. If you want to come in this week and you're listening to this
on
Tuesday,
you'll be there at the early part.
We're closed on Thanksgiving, obviously, but other weeks, that's when we're open. Come through. And finally, I can announce this. Sal Volcano, myself, and Chris DeStefano have launched, or on December 1st, are launching a new podcast network. It's called No Presh, the No Presh Network. The launch shows are Sal and I doing a show called Taste Buds, where we debate food. And Chris and Sal doing a show called Hey Babe. You can find us on YouTube. There's a YouTube channel for No Presh Network. Taste Buds Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Hey Babe Pod on Instagram and Twitter. We have a Patreon where you're going to get three full video episodes every month of each show for $8 total. So please check us out, and I hope you enjoy it. And that's it for the plugs. Sorry, that was a lot of plugs.
That was so secret. I knew about the podcast with Sal, but I didn't even know about the podcast network. And now in my head, I go, now I got to make another podcast so I can be on on Daddy's Network.
Come on, come on over to Daddy's Network. Lewis is at home in front of his computer screaming right now.
That's literally the first thought I had when you announced that. I was like, Lewis gonna be pissed. And it made me so happy. And then for me, we're talking about podcastmerch.com. I'm actually in the process of working with a designer to create a Corinne Fisher podcast merch line. So, you know, stuff from Guys We Fucked and, you know, My Life and My Instagram, I'm a Comedy ever on shirts, working with this young designer who I love, Jackie Maldonado. And that should be out soon. There was obviously a delay because of my crisis. But it's going to be up soon on podcastmerch.com. And, you know, Lewis, I hope I don't regret putting my podcast merch through your company. So keep an eye out for that. Follow me at Philanthropy Gal on all social media, and you'll be there. Then you'll be the first to know when it comes out. Going to be hot.
Awesome. Happy holidays or happy belated holiday, depending on when you listen to this.
Yeah, I hope you have or had a great Thanksgiving and, you know, that you weren't a complete fucking jackass about it, since it is the worst holiday, in my opinion.
Now, Easter sucks. Easter's the worst one. What a waste.
Easter's one of my favorites. It's just candy and, you know, candy and crucifixion. What more do you need?
Candy and crucifixion. What more do you need? That is the title for the episode. We'll see you guys later. Take it easy.
Bye. W-A-C, baby, with that hill country. W-A-C, baby, with that hill country. Gotta do our nails, gotta do our curls, gotta do these things, cause we're girls, girls, girls. Gotta make a mess, gotta play with toys, gotta do this stuff, cause we're boys, boys, boys. Right to left, and left to right, let's fight.